Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Anaya Sophia, and I am the author of Womb Wisdom, Awakening the Creative and Forgotten Powers of the Feminine, as well as Pilgrimage of Love, my first novel, explaining and sharing quite intimately my journey thus far on the pathway of the beloved. And working at the moment on my fifth book, which is called Sacred Union, The Alchemy of Love, which is a book that I have been researching for the best part of 20 years. I've been looking at the Eros Gamos, the ritualistic alchemical process, which is the restoration of the reunion of twin souls, or twin flames, twin halves. My background includes Kundalini Yoga, the Kabbalah, Gnostic Christianity, sexual shamanism, and the Sufi mysteries. I am an author, but I also travel the entire length and breadth of the country, teaching and holding events so that we can all physically and practically experience everything that I'm writing about in the books, because for me, to know something, you have to experience it deeply in your body. And because of the 15 odd years of teaching yoga, I have been able to work out those trigger points within the subtle anatomy that opens up the human being into an incredible, what I would call, rapturous experience. So all my work that I offer, it's for men and women, and I call this work the Carriers of the Flame. And when a carrier of the flame even hears those words, they recognize it immediately to be them. The carriers of the flame can fall into three aspects, if you like. There are the handmaidens, this is more the feminine lineage, and there are the light bearers, which is the masculine lineage. And of course, there are those of us who merge with our soul heart into the pathway of the beloved, into what was once known as Eros Gamos, as actualized by King Solomon and Queen of Sheba, Isis and Osiris, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, which we would most likely know it more today as Sacred Union, the alchemical ritualistic process to create the restoration of the twin souls back into their full and original oneness. Before we can embark on such a journey, there is an incredible amount of personal inner and outer work that needs to be done to make sure that we are equipped mentally, emotionally, psychologically, sexually, and spiritually for such an incredible experience.
Consciousness. It's like the ocean. Purveyors of passion, seeking to expand human consciousness from the deep depths of the universe of your soul.
Greetings, family, and welcome to the H2O Network. I'd like to welcome everyone in the chat room, everyone on the phone lines, and to everyone who will be listening to this via the archives later on. This is your host, Dia Nunez, broadcasting live from NYC, New York City. Bear with me, I've been up all night, so if I seem a little slow and things of this nature, it's because my creative energy literally is bubbling over and I have not gone to sleep yet. So if I stumble over a little bit, just bear with me. Still here, not out in the ethers. I pulled myself back in. We have our sister, Anaya Sophia, back at the H Show Network. She's the author of Pilgrimage of Love, Womb Wisdom, many other things. She's a beautiful human being, a wonderful teacher, and she has so many things coming up on the burner in 2012. And also, she has a special event that's happening in December, which we're going to talk about. And we're also going to delve into a little bit of her book and certain terms that I've known her for a while now, and certain terms that she's used. And I got questions, family. I got questions. And I also want to talk about some of her content that I've been seeing as of late on her Facebook channel. And family, of course, you can type her name into your search engine and find her on Facebook, Anaya, A-N-A-I-Y-A-S-O-P-H-I-A. I told you I was a little slow today. Lack of sleep and creativity, but I'm still here. Check her out. She has so many, like, intriguing things that she posts up. And, you know, we're going to get into her events and things of this nature. But she posted this video this week that broke me down. Someone in her network asked her, how do you know you've met your twin flame? And I don't know what it was about the energy of the video and things of this nature, but I wept when I saw this video. It was very touching. You could just see and feel all of the emotions that were emanating through the video. So we're going to delve into that because, you know, this next book that she's percolating and bringing forth to humanity is talking about many things that I find very fascinating. And before we bring Anaya on the line, family, make sure that you go to the HO Network profile, and you can download us on iTunes and take us everywhere you go, just in case you've missed something. So if you go to the HO Network profile page, you have an RSS feed, and we also have an iTunes button. Press that iTunes button. You can take us wherever you go. You can also embed certain shows, if you will, if you listen to the shows individually. And of course, we're on Facebook. If you type into your search engine Dianunez, that is me. I have two profiles, friend them both. I have so many wonderful and creative beings in my network, artists, musicians, authors, who are talking about some really fascinating things. And of course, we're on Twitter, tweeting away with the esoteric, spiritual, paranormal, conspiracy theorist individuals all over the planet. So type into your search engine, the HO Network, and you'll be able to find us there. And also, family, one of the reasons why I haven't been to sleep yet is because I've been working on the HO Network website at the h2onetwork.weebly.com. That's the h2onetwork.weebly.com. And we have a lot of cool things. I tell you, you never realize how much content you have until you have to transfer it over. We have message from the ancestors. I am a spiritualist, as some of you know, and the ancestors and spirit has been speaking. So me and my sister, Miss Paula at KDCL Media, who is like our sister station and our buddies, we have been doing message from the ancestors. We have Door to the Mind. We have After Dark with the HO Network and KDCL Media, Buffalo Talk, of course, you know, our home shows and the Eagle's Nest. And family, I'm delving into something new. We have a forum. Never done a forum before. Ha, ha, ha. So I'm really excited about that. KDCL Media has invited the HO Network to hang out with them at their forum. So the HO Network has their own little section of forums. So we'll be posting all kinds of cool esoteric finds. We also have a video section, really cool videos and some of my poetry and some of the shows I'm editing and downloading onto YouTube, so people have a chance to see it in a different form. And also, you can contact us at any point in time. We have a contact message on our website. So contact us. Give us feedback. Feedback is love, family. And also, if you'd like to see certain guests on the HO Network and artists and musicians and things of this nature, and, of course, friends of the HO Network like Lennon Honor, my co-creations, the Adimu Network, Infinite Waters out of the UK with Ralph Smart. Love, Ralph. Send you so much love. So make sure that you check all of that out, family. Let me go to my switchboard and see if Anaya is here. Hey, sis.
Hey, I'm here.
How are you?
Gosh, I think I'm in the same camp as you. The same thing, highly, highly creative, lack of sleep, lack of rest, but I'm going to be taking this rest because we got to stay in balance, sister.
You know what? I keep saying, it's funny, I keep saying, I got to have balance. And then here I am staying up all night and I'm like tweaking this, I'm putting this together. I mean, the energy from this past full moon is insane. I have never in my life experienced anything to this extreme. It is literally to an extreme. And what's so interesting is that I'm a Sagittarius, so are you. So I think that this is, you know, the full moon, if you will, was in Sagittarius Gemini. And I think that we're more affected than most because it's actually sitting in our signs, in our sister sign of Gemini. So we are literally getting hit in the crown chakra for real, for real. And all I have to say, if 2012 was like this, like creative like this, I have to literally put myself on lockdown, like you said, for 48 hours and put myself back in balance because this is insane.
I know. I absolutely stand beside you on everything you're saying. You're right. It's incredible.
Yes, it is. It is very much. It's. But it's awesome, though. How twisted is it that I'm, what I'm about to say is so twisted. I'm, you know, I'm dead tired. I don't even know if I'm here or not, but I love it. I'm addicted, and that's what's twisted about it.
Yeah, I must admit, in 1996, when I first came across the idea of 2012, I remember saying, right, when it comes to that time, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to pull all the stops out. I'm gonna be 24/7, 360 degrees, and I am.
You and me both. And let me tell you, when people say, "Oh, totally," when people are like, "Oh, 2012," you know, the whole shifting thing. If you don't feel this in your body, then something is going on with you because I feel it like in every crevice and every aspect of my life. And I'm looking at other people and they're being just as creative as I am. And it's like this frenzy. I love it. So it's like there is no denying that there's a shift going on and also a physical shift because, Anaya, I swear, last week, every time I looked in my news feed, they were discovering, like, all of these, like, weird planets and, you know, habitable planets with water. And I was like, oh, I love this. This is so fierce, honey. That is, to me, confirmation that we are literally physically moving. How wonderful is that?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I saw those new sheets too. Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. So it is like when I see things like that, it's like science is sort of kind of catching up to all of the things the spiritual people have been talking about for a long time, and it's confirmation because our view is changing, if you will, and this is why we're able to see what we didn't see before, and I just find that to be so fascinating, and it's so beautiful to be alive at this point. You know, we're all creating like crazy, and I love it. And speaking about creating, I know that you were in California. You've been percolating and moving and doing your thing, and now you're back in the UK. And I know that you have an event coming up called the Alchemy of Love, correct?
Yes, that's what I'm going to be presenting next year. If you're talking about the event at Stonehenge, is that the one?
Well, actually, you have two events. You have the Alchemy of Love, I think, next year, and then you have the event at Stonehenge, and we most definitely are going to talk about that because that's going to be out of sight. And I tell you, if I was in the UK, I'd be going.
Oh, I know you would. Yeah. No, Alchemy of Love, that's what I'm going to be presenting all of 2012. It's like 2011 was working on an individual basis with the women and with the men separately.
Uh-huh.
And now, 2012, we bring everyone together. And that's why it's called the Alchemy of Love.
I love that. So I'm making an assumption. I no pressure. No pressure. But I know that you're also working on the sequel to Womb Wisdom, which was a beautiful, beautiful book. And we've had some very in-depth conversation about that book. Is there a Womb Wisdom 2 that's coming?
That is. That is Alchemy of Love. That is Womb Wisdom 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You had it hidden there. Oh, very good. I'm very excited about that because we've had some very in-depth conversations, family, about, you know, womb wisdom and what one has learned and gained from the womb. And you should go back into the archives because it is very, very telling, to say the least. So you say that the Alchemy of Love will be going on all next year, correct? Is it going to be in Europe or just the United States? Is it going to be both? How is it going to work?
It's going to be Europe, the U.S., and Australia.
Oh, that's fabulous. And let me tell you, family, Anaya, it's very hard for her to get to the U.S., but as of late, she's been here like nobody's business. So most definitely take advantage and go to www.pilgrimageoflove.com, and you'll be able to find out all of the information on this wonderful event that will be happening next year. Now, getting to the event that's happening in December, what is going down at Stonehenge?
Well, I mean, it's a very exciting time because this is the year that we can, you know, we can almost choose where we're going to be and who we're going to be with. This is the, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2012? Really and
very
truly,
true.
Who knows? So for
Indeed.
Me, it's like this is the time where we can absolutely, pretty much, for certain, gather together and celebrate this gateway into the next year, being 2012. And luckily for me,
absolutely,
Stonehenge is about an hour away. So this this is the local sacred site.
I've always wanted to go to Stonehenge. I tell you, it might, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I tell you, if it's meant for me to be there, I will be there. But if I'm not, I'll be there in spirit because I know that you guys will be doing many things. And I'm so excited because the energy, like you said, all of these doors are being opened, if you will. And,
yes,
you know, it's funny that you talk about Stonehenge and a door being open because when we have the eclipse, and I was actually looking at the moon in the U.S. on the East Coast. It was so full, so huge. And I actually saw, you know, a cross symbol, if you will. And family, don't misconstrue my words, not in a religiosity way, but it sort of kind of revealed to me that a doorway is being opened, that the crossroads to this world and the esoteric and the cosmos is being opened. And a lot of things are being let go and a lot of things are being let in. And it's the duality of the light and dark, which is very interesting because you can see all of these things play out on the planet, if you will, within yourself, within your community, and within secular society. Is it the same thing where you are, Anaya?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. And this is what's happening on the 22nd of December. I'm just going to be gathering all the people I've been working with in England and Europe. So everyone's joining and coming together at Stonehenge. And again, a beautiful mix of men and women who have become so grounded as well as so creatively conscious. So we're all going to gather together. Although saying that, you know, the Druid ceremony will be the highlight. You know, this is their place and this is their ceremony. And what we will be doing will be complementary to that, but very much secondary. because you know, so in England, this is the Druid time. This is when they come together and they celebrate their old pagan rite and ritual.
Indeed.
And there's no way I want to steam in and say, right, okay, it all changes. No way. We are gonna be very complementary and secondary to this very, very ancient way of life that still exists, still thrives, actually, in England.
So what type of events happened when, because I know what you're talking about, every year the Druids do go, you know, go there and they do ritual at Stonehenge. What is that like? Because I've never been. I've always heard people speak on it, but I've never been. So, I mean, what is the atmosphere like? What are the events that take place?
Mia, it is high. I mean, I'm not a Druid. I can really only speak from the sidelines, but it's such a celebratory coming together. What I really enjoy, and this might be really superficial, so please forgive me, I enjoy the costume and the regalia. Everybody dresses up. There's this one guy who's kind of at the head of it all, and this is a man called Arthur Pendragon, and he absolutely takes his role very, very seriously. He feels that he is heading, you know, the King Arthur lineage. And he absolutely looks the part. He is wonderful. And, of course, you have Merlin. You have Guinevere. You have all the ancient gods and goddesses of old England. So you have Bridie and Freya. And all the Celtic people come together. So you have the Irish. You have the Scottish. You have the Welsh. And it's like stepping back into time, back into a land of legendary old Britain.
That's amazing. Well, I have to tell you, I have many, many things in my bloodline, and one of them is Irish. And the reason how I found this out by two ways, I got two confirmations. You know, since I was a little girl, I used to hear the bagpipes. All the time, and when they used to have the parades, and I would see the men in their kilts with their, you know, these big hats on, and their, you know, their bagpipes, my hair used to stand up on the back of my neck, and I felt like I wanted to scream at the top of my lungs with excitement, and I'm like, what the heck is this feeling? Mm-hmm. And then the next year after that, my uncle on my mother's side, they ended up doing our family tree. And lo and behold, we have Irish on my mother's side of the family. I was like, whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
So I was like, my spirit was letting me know this is a part of who you are, along with many other things. You know, African-American. I have 5 Native American tribes. I have, you know, Latino, and I have some other things, some French Creole. So I was just so blown away by this, and I've always been attracted to Stonehenge because that is literally a portal to the cosmos, and I've always been fascinated by Stonehenge.
I think what I love is, like, for the Druids, you know, nature, they are so close to nature. So this is their God, this is their religion, so to speak, you know, in the real loose sense of the word. So these people, it is so easy for them to become like nature. And what I mean by that is they can lose themselves. They can become that wild, that untamable, that free, that celebratory. Do you see what I mean? It's just so joyful to see a bunch of human beings relish their animal stroke nature sides.
Indeed, and that's the way that all the old indigenous tribes used to be in Naya. And to be able to see that must be it's got to be amazing, because I've heard stories from people who have gone there and just like, Radia, you just have no clue. It's something that you can't even describe. It's just so amazing. But all of the indigenous tribes of the planet, in their Ra is for you. You will make a ritual at sacred sites. It's that way, and it's one of the most beautiful things ever.
Yes, yes. Like on the winter solstice. Yeah, carry on.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are you, I know that you said that you're going to be, you're not overshadowing, but what are you guys going to do as you're hanging out at Stonehenge with all the Celts and the Gaelics? Oh, so exciting.
Well, at the moment, it's still coming through, but what I'm seeing is that Stonehenge really is the gateway that links these four Celtic bloodlines, so the Irish, the Scottish, the English, and the Welsh. And I have this feeling that whatever happens in Stonehenge will absolutely emanate throughout the whole of Europe. So I'm getting these men and women together for the women to really, you know, they've been doing the womb wisdom. They have spent years now cleaning, cleansing, activating, and igniting their womb energies. And womb energy is obviously birthing, you know, birthing and conception energies. So I'm going to be asking these women to really, really open up in a circle around Stonehenge. So almost like the woman is going to become the creative, fertile womb. And the men are going to almost like activate Stonehenge, because Stonehenge is very, very much a masculine site. Its neighbor, like 45 minutes away, there's a place called Avebury, and that is absolutely the feminine site. Stonehenge is, my God, when you go there, you'll realize it is masculine. So
wow.
That is loosely what I see at the moment. It's for sure it's a gateway. For sure it's a stargate. So
oh, it is.
Yeah. Yep. And by bringing those women in there who have been working so hard and so authentically to open up their womb in the most cosmic and grounded of ways, then something can really be anchored cleanly anchored into Stonehenge. And then that will just emanate up and down, you know, what we call the United Kingdom. And maybe this time we can live up to those words, united.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I have to mention this because I've heard people say this. And I can't speak on it because I've never been to Stonehenge. But I've heard researchers and other, and I shouldn't make the assumption that they're non-spiritual in nature, because I don't know their background. I mean, we all are spiritual. We come here as spiritual beings, even if we've forgotten. But I've heard people say that Stonehenge has a really dark, negative energy to it. What is that, and why are they perceiving Stonehenge to be this? Now, I don't perceive Stonehenge, but then again, my assumption of Stonehenge is incorrect because I've never actually been there. I've only seen it in pictures and on television. So why do you think that people come up with this conclusion?
Well, I mean, when you go to Stonehenge and you're alone or in a small party, It is purely a very high frequency place that is drenched in history. And you can feel it. It goes both ways. It zooms into the future and it rolls back into the past. What I've noticed, because, you know, there can be a lot of celebrations and parties at Stonehenge. Now, when that happens, when you get thousands of people there, every time I have been, I have experienced one thing and one thing only, and that is the energy of chaos. I feel it's not too high, but when there's a lot of people there, the energy just goes sideways. It just goes sideways. It's almost like whatever you bring to Stonehenge will become amplified tenfold at least. And if you're going in the spirit of party and alcohol and drugs, then, oh my God, it just multiplies again and again and again and just spirals into the chaotic field. And I think human beings, when they experience chaos, they say, oh my God, that's dark. That's dark, that's destructive, because they're scared stiff, you know, of what chaos feels like. That's where I think that reputation is coming from.
Indeed. And, you know, another thing that I don't know if you know this, but is apparently, if you will, well known about Stonehenge, is that their actuality is under Stonehenge, from my understanding.
Sorry.
And I could be wrong, but is that true? That's correct, correct?
Well, I didn't hear that sentence. What did you say?
I said that apparently it's been known that there are shoddies under Stonehenge in some way, shape, or form, a burial site or so on and so forth. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, only in the last few weeks, there's been even more discoveries. Apparently, Stonehenge really is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not so much that there's stuff deeper, but more that there's more remains around the site. It's almost as if Stonehenge is the center of something much, much larger.
Wow.
And
work
has begun already to start, you know, taking in the archaeologists and just start clearing the area, opening it right up.
Wow. Well, then that makes sense when you say talk about the energy of chaos of Stonehenge, because if you're talking about a sacred site and then talking about this being a portal and individuals doing magic, if you will, with the essence of Stonehenge, when the living come to celebrate, you have the ancients coming up, their beings coming up from the ground and actually partaking in the essence of that energy as well. So not only do you have this timeline participating in things, you have a timeline, like you said, from the past coming up to the forefront as well. Because I don't know why I'm so fascinated with Stonehenge, but I am. But I've seen photographs and actually videos of, you know, them seeing bodies and spirit bodies roaming around in Stonehenge. So when you say that, it makes sense that you would feel that chaotic feeling, because you literally have ancients upon ancients upon ancients coming up to the forefront, their spirits coming up and participating in the activities as well. So that makes total sense to me.
That's what it feels like, dear, yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm so fascinated, and I can't wait till your event happens. And I hope that you will all take plenty of pictures and post them if able to go. Because, you know, I'll be there in spirit. When is the actual event? So people who are listening, if they'd like to be there or if they're in that area, they can participate.
Well, this year, winter solstice falls on the 22nd of December, which is great because usually it's the 21st. Every 4 years, we get to celebrate on the 22nd of December, which also just happens to be my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Missy. Mine is on the 20th and yours is on the 22nd. That's going to be awesome. So you're having a huge birthday party, girlfriend.
Totally. And I will absolutely record a little video snippet during that time and put it up on YouTube. So you will get to see the spirit of Stonehenge.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be so exciting and so awesome. Awesome, 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 dawesome. And I send you, you know, love, and I know you guys will be deep in prayer and things of this nature. So think of me as you're doing those things. I think this is going to be a fantastic coming up year. feeling from what's going on in my own spirit and what I'm doing, what everyone is doing. The creative energy is so high, and I think that it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know about you, but I have such a glorious feeling for next year. You know, I am just 100% rooting now for, you know, this creative cosmic unfolding. There is not one fiber in my being that is holding onto any sense of, oh my God, there's going to be destruction. It's going to be bad news. That is not what I am feeling at all. I don't know about you, but I see heaven.
Well, what I feel, Anaya, is I feel that nature is balanced. It's like this dance that's going on right now.
Yeah.
All of the things that have been hidden for so long on every level of existence is now percolating up to the surface and being revealed and shown.
Yes.
And we are being confronted with our shadow selves. Now, when I say this, yeah, you know how I perceive reality. That's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful thing, because to me that reveals growth.
Yes.
So I see like these two halves that are confronting each other, and they're doing this intricate little dance of growth. There's going to be a lot of falling away of many things. There's going to be rejuvenation. There's going to be a lot of things birthed, good and bad, I guess, if you want to put it in those categories.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like a new beginning is happening, but I also feel that people are being confronted with the element of truth,
mm-hmm.
and that one has to stand in their truth regardless of what is being shown to them by others. So to me, 24 year of really standing in your truth and really living an authentic life to the best of your ability, because if we choose not to, we'll basically be forced to by the universe. We'll be forced to release of things that no longer serve us, because, you know, Anaya, the creator, the universe wants us to have the things that we desire and to live to the best of our potentiality. We are so, just the fact that we even exist is amazing.
Yes, yes.
We are truly magnificent. So it's going to be a magnificent year. It's going to be clearing away of a lot of things. So that whole doomsday thing, I think, is a lot of propaganda, a lot of things to instill fear within people so they don't change and they stay comfortable where they are. And that's not where you need to be.
No, no, no.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, going to back to the alchemy of love, and I know that you're writing this next book.
Yeah.
When you say the path of the beloved, Anaya, what do you mean when you say that? I have a perception of it, but what do you really mean when you say beloved?
Well, what I understand is that we all have a path back to our Creator, back to God, back home, however you want to look at it. And mine is for sure through the art of loving. I was born to love. And that's what I mean by the pathway of the beloved. My nature, I am wired in such a way that if I sat around meditating all day, that would not do it. If I sat around doing yoga all day, that would not do it. Even if I sat around doing tantra all day, that still wouldn't do it. But the way I come home, the way I dissolve into what created me is by loving. It's just literally becoming the world's greatest lover. But that doesn't come with the reputation that sentence sort of raises up. It's like a lover with the capital L. It's just loving, 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 loving. And I don't really mean the human way of loving. I'm talking about the glorious way of loving, the celestial way of loving, the Christed way of loving, the Rumi way of loving. that's what I mean by the path of the beloved. My feeling is that by becoming a lover of God, a lover of life, that is in itself a holistic and authentic spiritual pathway back to, whether you call it liberation, enlightenment, embodiment, whatever. That's the path of the beloved. It's by allowing the force of love to completely devour you.
Oh my God, I had to put myself on mute and crack up because that is you. You're such a lover, Anaya. You're just like so calm and collected, and you are very much a lover with the big L. And that's exactly what I mean. And it's not really, I don't know, like when I hear myself say that, I'm like, okay, you can't be too utopian, if you will, but it's not. I'm a lover as well. I love love. I love being in love. I love feeling the joy of, you know, the expansiveness of the Creator and knowing that I'm loved. And let me tell you, when I first felt that feeling of, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, the expression of love that is not human. It's not a human aspect of love. It's a divine love.
Yes.
And I felt it twice very expansively and intensively in my life. And I feel it all the time now. I get these spurts, but like really heavily twice. And it was one of the most profound things in my entire life. I knew that there for sure was a Creator, that I was more than just this physical essence of reality, and that I was one with everything around me. And it's something that you can't really explain unless you've experienced it. And it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced. And that's all I can really say, because to talk about it and try to explain it would not do it justice. But I completely get where you're going and what you're saying, because I'm a lover as well. I love to be loved, human form and divine. I love that feeling. I love it all. So you're absolutely on point.
Yep. And, you know, this has nothing to do with romance, although obviously romance is included in this expression. You know, that's one of the first things I say to people. This has nothing really to do with another person, although every person is included. It is what comes through you, and it's what you consciously, maybe subconsciously, see and feel in the other. You know, it's the nature of love. It's the essence of love. It's the way it comes into your system and just, you know, turns you on your head. It's the way that once it's within you, everything changes. And it's following
Absolutely.
That energy, not that person, following that energy all the way home.
You're absolutely correct, because when I think of divine love and human love, divine love to me is not, there is no expectation, there is no ulterior motive. It's unconditional in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Usually, and it's hard to admit this to yourself, usually when we are in a romantic relationship, not always, but it's for the benefit of self. How can this individual make me feel this, and this? How can they fulfill my life? It's not unconditional. It's not divine. Human love and divine love are very much different, and we interchange them so easily, but they're not the same. They're very different. What is your perception of, if someone was to ask you, which I'm about to ask you, what is divine love and human love? How are they different?
Okay, well, divine love, this is how I feel it. It's like recently, over the years, maybe this has got something to do with maturing. You know, I'm in my 40s now, and when you look at the Kabbalah, you can't even begin to learn the Kabbalah until you're 40. So maybe there's like a maturing of the soul that happens at 40, because God knows I've changed. You know, this incredible depth has arisen since I've moved into my 40s. My favorite word at the moment is rapture. And rapture, when you look at it in the dictionary, means to be uplifted by the force of love. So there is this, you know, this going up energy. You're rising up. You are in a rapturous state, which is being uplifted by the force of love. And what I'm noticing now is I can get into these rapturous states every day, to the point of crying with how much love I have for God. Now, about 2 years ago, I was in one of these rapture states, and I was saying, you know, God, is it ever going to be possible for me to feel this way about a man, about my beloved on earth, about, you know, about a partner? Is it possible to transfer this feeling that I have for you, my, you know, my heavenly creator, my beloved creator? And can I feel this in another mortal human being? At the time, I didn't think it was possible, because we are talking huge, huge, huge experiences. Oh, God, you can't even say love anymore. It makes it sound so cheap. But that feeling, that rapture, that longing, that gratitude, that being met in the longing, that for me is divine love. Where there's nowhere left to go. You are just backed into a corner by the enormity of your longing, gratitude and rapture for the Creator. There's just nowhere to go but to implode with the nature of this force. So that in my world, I would call that divine love. Now, how often do we do that with another human being? That's my question. How often can you say you've reached those places with another human being?
Not very often, I have to admit to you. Not very, I don't even know if I can say very often. That's rapturous.
And, you know, I can count the number of people I've done that with on two fingers. Two flipping fingers. So, you know, immediately we can see, there's a difference. See, I actually call human love fondness. You know, we have a fondness for another person. It's more like an affinity. You know, we kind of like them. We kind of like hanging out. We like cuddling up. We like, you know, sharing a bed. It's a fondness. You know, let's just be honest. We have a fondness for one another. That divine love, that's love. That's the reality of love. That's the power. That's what it's trying to express and come through. That's what it wants to show. That's its nature. And that's helplessly what I'm writing about in my books and encouraging others just to remember. And so the first step really is, I feel, and this is what I've been teaching because this is the path I followed, I feel the only way we can feel that for the very, very, very first time in a really integrated, holistic state is to feel that with our Creator. I think a person is going to run into trouble if they look to experience that with another human being first. I think you've got to get your bases covered, you know, with the Creator, with yourself, with your own soul. Experience it deep inside the body. And then, the next step, then with another person. Because from my own experience, I have experienced it with a human being without experiencing it deep inside myself or with God, and I ran into serious trouble. Oh, my God, I nearly got swallowed up by the black hole herself. And that's where I feel we have those enormous, enormous heartbreaks, that excruciating soul pain when it goes horribly wrong.
Wow.
Hmm.
I'm thinking about myself, and that is, I have to say, that is on point. And obviously, since you have experienced that with another human being, would that be your twin flame? You know I was going to open Pandora's box.
And you know me, I'll happily walk into Pandora's box anytime. Okay, well, the truth is, very recently, I have met a very dear, dear, dear friend of 7 years who has come forward and said, hey, you know, you want to dance together? And, you know, I kind of danced on the sidelines for a little while with that question. And then in the end, I went, well, why not? Why not indeed? I am just so ready to open up to this again. And, you know, bless us, both of us were very mature. We're very mature. And dear, the most beautiful thing I've ever encountered, we have 7 years of friendship under our belt.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
And so with this ginormous foundation stone in place, you can just open up. You can absolutely just open up. Because I have no fear of being hurt by him. How could he possibly hurt me? What I am loving is alive. And is there at the beginning, middle, and end of the relationship? You know, this is eternal. What I am loving through him is what I am loving in my prayers. And I think that's the beauty of you know, growing older. You and more and more experience of this energy, you get to realize where it's coming from and what it wants to do. Or rather be, actually. Not do, be.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just, you know, like you said on the last time that we spoke, heartbreak, if you will, really teaches you a lot of things. Experiencing your twin flame, experiencing divine love, experiencing many things in this reality is a teacher if you're open to it and you realize that it's an opportunity to knowing the greater essence of yourself in many things in this reality and the cosmos in general. So you're absolutely on point, and you have a foundation, which I think that in this society we've been brainwashed to instant gratification in every area and aspect of our lives. We want to rush through everything without getting to know, without establishing a friendship, and that's very much important, learning how to communicate with each other. And knowing and taking it for what it really is, like you said, a fondness. We have to be truthful with ourselves. And that's very difficult, to be honest and truthful as far as our relationships and as far as how we are using them and percolating within them. That can be very tough.
Yes, yes. And what's so beautiful, you know, we're really slowing this journey down. And we're communicating, you know, from the masculine, from the feminine. We're just communicating back and forth everything that's happening physically, psychologically, emotionally, soulfully, sexually. It's incredible. It's incredible. You know, there's no urgency to go at 100 miles per hour, but we're just consciously moving through this, you know, this potentiality. Maybe we are, you know, twin souls. Maybe we are. Certainly looks that way. But, you know, we don't have to rush forward and name it as that at the moment. We can just, with a fine-tooth comb, you know, consciously comb through all of these experiences so that we can map it out and, you know, maybe navigate for others. This is what I am so grateful for, that there's this kind of like clean palette that we can meet on and go through this process nice and slow.
Indeed. We need to be more mindful of that. And, you know, sis, time goes by so fast. When I speak with you, I'm so excited for 2012, your projects that are coming forth. And please let me know when they're, you know, I'll make sure that I check in with you so I can announce them on the air and let the family know. And I'm so excited. I can't wait till the solstice when you experience Stonehenge, if you will. And
yes,
you do what you do because you do it very, very well. And I'm excited for your next book. And, of course, when that comes out, you have to come back on the HO Network and talk about that in depth, because you talk about a lot of issues in the area of love and the alchemy of love, because we are all natural alchemists. A lot of people don't like to talk about, but we have to percolate through these things in order to get and receive the gifts in which we truly deserve. We're destined to receive these things. So I thank you so much, Anaya.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much. Thank you again for inviting me on.
Absolutely. I send you a lot of love, and you know you are welcome here. This is your home, and we love to have you. We love you here at the HO Network.
Thank you. And happy birthday for the 20th.
Absolutely. And happy birthday back at you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
And once again, family, a wonderful show. I love Anaya Sophia. She, I tell you, I could sit and talk to her for hours. Her wisdom, her womb wisdom, is very profound. That's all I can really say. She is a very beautiful soul. A piece of her soul that has been drifted here in the physical realm of reality is beautiful. She's probably one of the most beautiful human beings that I know to date, seriously. She has a lot of wisdom, and she emulates, and she oozes the essence of love. When she says that, she's being very serious. And like I said, we were running around the block and talking about so many other important things that we didn't really get into the video that I wanted to talk about. But the next time she comes on, I think it may be even more appropriate to talk about it then, because, you know, knowing how you've met your twin flame and all of the things, just the knowledge that she gave in her video just blew me away. And I don't know what it was, but it just touched my spirit, and it choked me up. It made me weep. That's what she does. She, you know, she really breaks you down, seriously. Family, make sure you go to thepilgrimageoflove.com. That's www.pilgrimageoflove.com. And also, family, make sure that you check out Anaya Sophia on Facebook. She's on Facebook doing her thing. And all I can say is she gives so much medicine and so much love to the people. It is so refreshing, because there's so many realities percolating, if you will, on top of each other. The shadow is coming up, but then there are these creative, beautiful souls out here like Anaya, who's doing their thing, and she is truly doing her thing, family. We are so much more than what we perceive ourselves to be. And when I say that, I know it may sound cheesy or corny, but it's not. It's the truth. Our potentiality, the fact that we even exist here in this physical realm of reality, is so special. We have so many gifts that we haven't even tapped into. This is the year of truth, family. Every year is a different year of aspect of finding out about self. This is going to be a very monumental year, a peeling back of the onion and the layers of ourselves. A lot of things that don't serve us are going to slip away. We may fight it kicking and screaming, but you will realize in the end, when it falls away, that it was in your best interest. Family, we all have to live our best life. Here in the organic, we are only here for a blink of an eye. We are here to experience all of the pain, all of the joy, human love and divine love and many other things. Enjoy what is here in the now. We have so many beautiful gifts to give to each other, to ourselves, our families, to the greater essence of reality. The time is now, family. Take that step. And until next time, family, bye-bye.